grace to you, my friends, and peace from God the Father, but most surely from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas Day. I would read two verses that begin two whole sections of the Holy Scripture. In fact, I won't read them. My eyes are not that swift. But I know a few things from the Bible. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:1, which you heard from Pastor in the Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's what's between these two creation stories that caused God, out of his great love and mercy for a fallen humankind, to enter it for terms of its being bought back to serve its creator. And we know what happened. In the Christmas story related in Matthew's and in Luke's gospel, there are some things that maybe should catch our eye and ear this morning as we hail the birth into this world thousands of years ago, God's promise for sinners, Jesus Christ. I would read in Matthew chapter 1. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Luke 2. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Then Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of Jesus. Bear with. There's a little boy in Wichita, Kansas, who's going to be 5, and he'll let you know it. His name's Ben. Last name Smith. Common as good old dirt. Doesn't sound very Lutheran, but he's folks on. He's our grandson. Ben learned something this week as his mother, Rachel, relayed to Ruth and I. He was with his sister, who's 8, and his mother, caring about gifts of bread and cookies that Rachel is wont to do for her neighbor friends, and I guess they had a sack of things that they were walking about. She with the 2 kids, and teacher that she is and social worker, was giving kids opportunity to face people at the front door with the gifts. First Caroline would go, then Ben would follow. After about the 4th time that Ben had got to be the gift giver at the door, he returned, and noticeably he had received from the persons to whom he gave a gift, his neighbors, something in return. And old Ben is not too fast to forget what he has learned about observations in life. And he says, hey, Mom, it's great to give because you get something back. For how many of us is not that a commentary, even as we celebrate the birth of our Savior? I intentionally read the Genesis and John chapters in those short verses about creation because it is easy for this old pastor to forget what Jesus is all about And as I look out at you, I pray, God, help me, because of the nativity, to see you in everyone I meet. And if not, give me as you gave the shepherds, those guys with stinking clothes, halfway through the night, before they got back out to their sheep, what did they say? They said all these good things that they had seen and heard. And it's been going on. Have we noticed? Do we need to remind ourselves that God chose to bring about the salvation of a fallen, desperately sinful humankind? God chose that which we probably would not have chosen to be those who bore the marks for bringing Christ into the world. Christ, Messiah, the promised one. Jesus, the name to be given. And so I ask you this morning, because he has come among us, calls himself by the prophets speaking Emmanuel, God with us. God was, according to John's gospel, speaking of Jesus. He was there in the beginning with the Word, and that Word was God. Jesus restores what was fallen. Historically, his birth, death, resurrection, and ascension have separated us from the notion that something needs to be done, that sin can be forgiven, or at least, if we don't want to get into that heavy business of detail, that life can go on peacefully. Notice how media picks up on peace to the world. We just got out of a war. We've been in for several years, many, many miles away. And there seems to be, even mouthed from pulpits, the idea that somehow, if we just get our act straight, there will be peace on earth. This baby grew up to say, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. The Word of God cuts to the marrow of the bone, severing, recreating, renewing. We are recipients. Like grandson Ben, we too need to relearn a little bit of the lesson. Christmas is not about giving. Christmas is about receiving the Word eternal, made ours by faith. Joseph was told, what's inside your espoused wife, you have not had relations with her, is real and is mighty and is living. And that living Word, Joseph was told to name him Jesus. For a couple of moments, rejoice with this pastor, privileged to occupy your pulpit today, a day of days that begins festive joy so easily forgotten, in which we kowtow to the world with all of our glitter and guilt, forgetting that somehow behind it all is a lesson for sinners to learn about their shameful lives, born in sin from the beginning, until they finally bow at the feet of Jesus, and to hear him say to us, your sin is forgiven. Go and sin no more. You'll come before this altar with I and my wife and the rest of the believers here. And you will receive, but don't forget, when you receive that wafer and that wine, that there is the very body and blood of Jesus, your infant Savior. If we don't see him there, then Holy Communion is about something else in our heads. We receive him who came to do what God had promised. Thinking of Jesus, I say to you, for Jesus' sake, have a Merry Christmas, and spell that M-A-R-Y. Number two, have a Merry Christmas with the silent saint of Christmas. Remember Mary, I read about her and Joseph? She was a virgin servant. Imagine this woman in that town getting this news. News, you would say? She hadn't been for her Friday prom makeup. She was simply there living out her faith in the God who had promised to save her, now to be told by an angel, I have chosen you, and you are highly in my eyes and my estimable ownership of this world. You are extremely favored. She, like I, how many of you wouldn't have recoiled just as she did in fear? Declared to be favored by God and to be continuing his long-promised ordeal for a sinful human race, she jumped back a bit. What's happening? How can this be true? She must have thought in her head. What is really going on? Maybe she had learned those lessons in synagogue so well that when God spoke and she knew he chose his different kind of mediums, angels in particular, Gabriel now saying these words to her, at least she kept her mouth shut. She spoke back, how can this be? I have known no man. My virginity is intact. And then the angel went on to tell her, that which is born of thee shall be called holy. And Joseph ended up giving them the name. This is Messiah promised long. Jesus. She knew about the Messiah from the scriptures before she knew she was carrying that Messiah and called his name Jesus, which meant Savior. Declared to be favored, she feared. But when that ordeal was done, and I doubt if there were any OBGYNs there to say, push, push, she pondered all this in her heart. I cannot begin to fathom, first I'm male, what it would be like to bring a child into this world. But second, having seen my wife be by God's grace able to bring into our lives four children, now long grown and with eight grandchildren to follow, I am amazed that this confession that she had was simply mouth closed to ponder what had just happened in her heart. And her pondering, according to the Greek at that particular point, is in the perfect, which means it's ongoing action, not really completed. We know what the lot would be for her and for husband Joseph until basically about the time Jesus was 12, what their lives would mean in terms of his development. Mary pondered the outcome. But not just when she heard words in the temple from Jesus who had lagged behind. Remember the story? And they had to go back a day's journey to get him. And they asked the question, what are you up to, friend? And he says, I got to be about my father's business. Wow. Did Joseph realize when he was affirmative with the angel that he would name him Jesus, that this almost fly in the face would come back? Yes, he did. But though maybe every human emotion in him recoiled when he heard Jesus, reminding who he really was. Joseph. Joseph. The silent saint of Christmas. He gets talked to by an angel. I read the words. This man was simply inaudibly obedient in fulfilling the plan that God was unfolding for him through his betrothed wife whom he had sexually not known. Could have, according to Jewish custom and law, set her aside quietly. But he did not. He obeyed what God spoke to him through that angel. This silent saint simply did things without uttering a word. He believed that the Spirit-seated Son in Mary's womb was his Savior. And he protected Mary and Jesus by first escaping into Egypt when he had heard that Herod the king wasn't about to share the kingdom with anybody else. And Herod set about his plan to eliminate Jesus. and tried to carry it out sometime later by having every male child in the area and in his kingdom, 2 years old and under, killed. And we say in the Creed, second article, and I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. God's plan was for this to happen, because God's plan would finally show how deep, ugly, and terrible sin is, a disease that encompasses the whole human race. You know that, and you know its power in your life, even though you have been born again by baptism into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Savior. But like Joseph, the silent saint, we need to remember that God also uses us, and particularly his church, more like Mary in this instance, to be protected as she moves about with a word of freedom and forgiveness in a sin-plagued world, a world that we shall go back to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and by then all the newness of what we got in our packages will probably be second hand. And there's nothing wrong with getting gifts and giving gifts, but if that's what we mean this season is all about, God help us, because for Jesus' sake, all that matters is that I come to a confrontation daily about my sin washed away in my baptism many years ago, none of which was my activity, but God's, and God's for me. And now, I am with you, can I say, gloriously privileged to sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of good will. I didn't say peace when bombs quit dropping. I didn't say peace when we don't seek new political avenues to get our way. But I said peace that comes with the knowledge of sin confessed. Sin has its forgiveness because of Jesus. We say, for Jesus' sake, have a Merry Christmas with the silent saint of Christmas. I would end simply by saying, some of you have got me crowned. I'm only 73. But this is my 74th Christmas. And not till I dug back into some records of my life when my mother passed a few years ago at the age of 101 that I found out that my baptismal date was the first Sunday in December, 1938. I wasn't quite 6 months old. And the story was told in my house about this Jesus. My father was not what you would call the most advocating, ready to sit up and have a prayer. Dad would bow his head and even pray with us at the table. Dad joined the Lutheran Church the year before I was to be confirmed, and when my confirmation date rolled about, Dad had had an altercation, and rightly so. But Dad, like his son, has too much pride. And Dad backed out because the pastor refused to baptize his boss's baby with the intoning. That family doesn't go to church. They aren't Christian and probably never will be. Father told him it wasn't his business to judge. The next time Dad was in church was for my confirmation a year later. And the next time he was in a Lutheran church was 3 years later at his funeral. Time can get away from us, folks, but every day is Christmas. Every day God comes and God gives, and God comes and God gives, and I receive what his Spirit works in me and in you to take out to the world is totally his, and it has one means in giving and to be used, to glorify him by calling men in a sinful world to repentance and to receive the gift from the Spirit of faith that says and grabs hold, God has done what I couldn't and wouldn't do for me and for the world. Baby Jesus, like this beautiful furniture and altarware in our church, of this beautiful oak. It's wood, and it looks good. Jesus came to look good on wood at least twice. Once in a crib, and thank God, finally, on a cross. Jesus looking good to you today? Bet your sweet bippy, they used to say. Well, may your bippy sweet. Reach out with hands that are uplifted by the Spirit and receive this babe and this crucified, dead, and buried Lord Jesus into your heart once again. And for Jesus. Have a Merry Christmas with the silent saint of Christmas, Mary and Joseph. Es ist genug. Enough said. Amen. And may the peace of God that does pass our human understanding of it keep both our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Full of Jesus' love, pardon my scraping sound of this thing. I had to just tie it on. I guess the little flipper is lost somewhere. But I hope you heard part of what I wanted to share with you this morning. Would you please rise and join with me in making confession to the Christian church in the words of the Nicene Creed.